Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Happy Friday Eve to you. Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR, and we are locked and loaded for you today. Hope you enjoyed the best of show yesterday, but we are live and rocking the one and only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. That's right, Cigars with the Cave Show today. And we have a lot of stuff on our plate today. Got a game tonight we want to talk about. Cleveland plays Cincinnati. Got some sound from the Clips and the Nuggets. Got to get this out the way because there's a lot of Clipper talk, a lot of unnecessary talk about Paul George. I want to get into that as well. An NCAA football team had to cancel its game because the devil got a hold of it. The Mercury play tonight. Must win. Want to touch on that. Pac-12. Are you in? We will find out. And COO of the Draft Network is on air with me today, 110 Paige DeMakis. I rarely get excited to have someone back on, but Paige, we go back. So anxiously looking forward to that. And I definitely want to open up these phone lines as well. So why don't we go ahead and get it started on this Friday Eve. Cigar with the Cave Shows from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, and we are sponsored by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, 4991 South Alma School. That's Alma School in Chandler Heights. Let them know PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. Come a club member. Get you access to the members' lounge. Get you a locker that backs up to a humidor. Never have to worry about your sticks going bad. And listen, tonight is Thursday. That means there's football. That means you should have your butt in here watching the game. There are 9 different televisions you can watch this game on. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy your sticks. Everyone here takes care of you. So come on down. If you can't make it down, though, and you still want sticks, don't you worry about it. Go to Stogie World. That's STOAGIEworld.com. Incredible selection of cigars. Get your order in early enough in the day. It will ship out that exact same day. But nothing's better than, like I said, being in here where they serve beer and wine, so you can definitely enjoy yourself. Ron will take care of you, so get your butt down here. And if he's not here, Tina will make sure that you're well taken care of as well. So that's my girls, Fine Cigar and Tobacco. And like I said, let them know PLR sent you 10% off your cigar purchase. So let's jump right in, get everything going. I do want to open up the phone lines first. Let's go that route. Have a caller on the Kerry Lackey Ball line. Thank you for holding. This is the Kerry Show with PLR.
Good afternoon, Ball. Paul, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
How you doing, buddy?
All right. How did the
Talk to me.
How did the Clippers let it get away? I really don't know. They had the game in the bag, the series in the bag, and they just choked. I don't get it.
There's no other way to put it. In fact, a lot of the players are talking about cohesiveness, and there's rumors out now that Paul George and a couple other players weren't getting Montrezl Harrell weren't getting along. The backstory always comes out when you blow a 3-1 lead. Sports is funny, Lou. If guys argue and you win, you're just a bunch of competitors. When guys argue and you lose, then there's no cohesiveness. So We'll see. I think the Clippers are good enough to run it back. I do think there's some pieces that they need. And they're going to have to move a couple people. I don't think Paul George is one of those people. Obviously, Kawhi Leonard isn't one of those people. But they may have to move a couple pieces to get some things that they need. And then I'm going to tell you something, Lou. When you're playing a team like the Nuggets, there's a joke we used to say. It's not they're not afraid. They're not as scared. They're not as scared of anything. And when you have Jokic who has that type of IQ and he's picking you apart like a surgeon, there's just not much that can be done.
No.
So I they just came back. It's you know what? What do we want to say? Do we want to say the Clippers choke, or do we want to start talking about what Denver accomplished, considering they did it back-to-back in two consecutive series? So it's which way you want to go, but the Clips let that one slip away. And how much longer do we give Doc Rivers passes on blowing 3-1 leads?
No more.
So he may be the move, to be honest with you. I said that Ty Lue would get a head coaching job at the end of the season. What if that head coaching job is right there in L.A.?
You think he's going to take it?
Well, I mean, I don't want to talk about a coach that's not fired yet, but if they move on from Doc, why not?
Yeah, but I think the Sixers are looking into him too, so we have to wait and see about that.
Please don't do that to yourself, Ty Lue.
Right.
Please, if there's a choice, don't do that to yourself.
Well, they need a coach too, considering what a very strange season they had.
They didn't have a strange season. They had an expected season. When you have no one that can shoot on your team, that's going to be a problem. I love how everyone is saying, in this NBA, you have to have shooters. In every NBA, you had to have shooters. When you look at the people that have won titles, forever they had shooters. You're going to tell me that Bird and Ainge and Dennis Johnson couldn't shoot? That Norm Nixon, back when he was with the Lakers, couldn't shoot, that they didn't have an inside presence with Kareem. You always had shooters on teams. So I hate when I hear that, well, you got to have shooters nowadays. But you didn't before? Hell, I'll take you back to Seattle when they won the title. You don't get the nickname Freddie Downtown Brown from shooting layups.
No.
So I just love these analytical youngsters. They want to think that they know everything and it's all shooting. Yeah, well, go ahead and shoot jump shots only. I have a team that only shoots jump shots, layups, and three-pointers, layups, and free throws. They're called the Houston Rockets. They have a bunch of guys that can shoot, but they can't do anything else. So they're home.
Right.
So you've always had to have shooters in the NBA.
Yeah, I get it. And the owner of the Bengals isn't going to make it tonight.
You know what? I'm not familiar with that story, Lou. I'm sorry. I'll have you explain that one to me.
Oh, yeah. Well, the owner, the current owner of the Browns, he said he's worried about COVID-19 case popping up. So he's going to miss his first game ever.
Now, there are a lot of 13,000. They're allowing 13,000 fans in the stadium, correct?
Yes. Mike Brown, that's his name. He's the president of the Bengals.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think they're going to let some fans in today, too. Hey, you know what? If someone is worried, I'm not going to talk about them. If people are worried about getting this devil out here called COVID and they want to do things differently, I'm not mad at them. I'm not one of those people running around saying, it's a hoax and it's a this, when you look up and almost 200,000 people are dead behind it. So if he doesn't feel comfortable, I'm sure as an owner, he has a big screen in his house.
Yeah. His father started the franchise and he took over after his father passed away. So it's a long history with this guy.
Yeah. Not mad at him for that one.
No,
of course. If you're not comfortable, if you're not comfortable, don't mess around. Because I tell you what, I'd rather be insulted and live than be, say, everything is fine, and show up and then have something go wrong. And we've all done that in life with something or another. We've all said, no, we'll be fine, and then do what our mind told us we shouldn't do, and then go the opposite way. So, so we'll see.
Well, it's good to see that, you know, that the Big Ten is playing college football next month, and college basketball is coming back in November. Ooh, boy, what a day yesterday.
It's all coming back, Lou, because money's involved.
But Pac-12 hasn't made a decision yet.
Well, the Pac-12, according to their governors, who now say they were never asked, got that from my buddy over at Channel 12, you couldn't practice in Oregon or California. If you have six teams in those two states and it's the Pac-12, can't exactly play sports with 16.
No.
So, but listen, I got to jump on you. I got a guest coming up. Please call me back tomorrow.
You got it. All right, Paul, thanks.
All right, Lou. All right, buddy, thank you. Good friend of the program, Lou. Always great to catch up with him. Schedule page, the mock is coming on soon. You can't play with six teams. Kind of hard. Let's step away, take a quick break, come back, and keep the ship rolling. This is the Cave Show with PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend, and I said, "Hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR."
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thanks for hanging out with me on this Friday Eve. Loaded stuff today. Loaded show. And I'm like I told you, I never get geeked anymore. I know everyone that has been on this show is like going, "Thanks a lot." But I've got someone coming up here in 15 seconds that has me geeked today. Make sure you're checking out the replay of the show if you miss it live over on KSRN, Casual Sports Radio Network. Download that app from the Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps. We are live every day, again, BTR, as well as KSRN. Go to sportscave.com. Cave is with a K. Click the Listen Live button. We are everywhere. So you can definitely check us out everywhere you have a computer, a smart device, in your car, wherever. We are all over the place. Cave Show with PLR. On the line with me now, we go back, and I'm thrilled. The way she's on the show today is actually so funny. Funny story, but she is the COO of the Draft Network, and she gets her own walk-up music, which a lot of people, they don't get on the show because they don't deserve to get it on the show. But on with PLR right now is one and the only Paige DeMarcus, and I know she knows this walk-up music.
Pull me with some Cubs music. Is he gonna? I'm so hyped. I'm so hyped. PLR, what great walk-up music.
What's happening? How are you?
Oh, my dude, I am, considering everything that's happened in 2020, I feel pretty lucky. So I think considering this year, a lot of people have been, doting it the worst year ever. I've had a pretty good year, and I'm happy to be, on the radio with my old friends.
You know what? As I'm looking at all the stuff you've accomplished, as we would say in Chicago, you've bloated it up. You're everywhere. I am so proud of you and so proud to be your friend. good to have you back, like old times all over again.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Love the intro music. Everybody's lucky that they're not having me on during Last Dance time, because this would have turned into a segment about Michael Jordan. So they're all lucky.
Yeah. You know what? I think people got sick of me. They were probably like, okay, dude, move on. We want to talk something else. We know Mike is the greatest. We know anyone that calls and tells you LeBron is the greatest, it turns into a 30-minute argument, and we don't get a word in. So I'm with you on the Last Dance. I got everything going all over again.
Yep, it sure did, and I feel the same way, except it's not an argument. It's one-sided. I just talk, and everybody else just listens. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing that we're not doing that today.
Exactly. But we are going to – I got to ask you, because my heart gets broken all the time. I survived last week. I'm sure you did too. I feel bad for DeAndre Swift. But I think Mitch is trying to put me in an early grave. I'm convinced of it, and I don't know what to do every Sunday now. What is – Paige, what is the story with these Bears? Are they good enough? Can they – I guess the way I'm going to phrase this is unfair – can they survive Mitchell Trubisky?
So here's the thing. I'm on record. I have been Team Mitch for a long time. And I think the reality is here, if you saw what happened in the fourth quarter and you've seen what happened in the back half of last season, and if you saw what happened in the season the team won 12-4, there was a lot of opportunity by the play calling, by Matt Nagy, to put Mitch in a position to win. Now, here's the thing about Mitch, and everybody that's listening that's a Chicago fan is not going to be surprised by this. He's not a pocket passer, okay? And unfortunately, they have tried to square peg, round hole Mitchell Trubisky instead of building an offense around him, because this is a very, very athletic dude. And the fact that they do not have designed runs for him is a crime. It is not using what he has as an ability to his best capabilities. I remember sitting 2 years ago, the season they go 12-4, when they're playing the Patriots that lose that game. But Mitch had an 80-yard run that was one of – I don't care what quarterback. He looked as athletic as everybody else that runs. He was unbelievable. That's the skill set that he has. So what you saw in the fourth quarter was – they had to let him do his thing and be out of his head and not try and overcoach and just roll him out, let him – he had a 20-yard run in that, and he hit Anthony Miller in the end zone. I mean, you've seen him make exceptionally accurate throws. He was 8 for 9. The every single pass was within a 10% window. PFF graded it out as like a ridiculous level. I just wish Matt Nagy would allow for him to play that game for a full four quarters, because you can't – what they did last week is not sustainable. So I hope that that happens, but you and I both know, because of the history of this Bears team, that's probably not going to happen. So we're in for heart attack city each and every week, and that's what I basically dialed into for the season, is that this is a team that's probably going to go 8-8, 9-7, and they might push for a playoff spot. I'm not afraid of the Vikings. I'm not afraid of the Lions, but Aaron Rodgers is on an FU tour, and I don't think they're going to beat that team. So I think this team will end up being kind of middle of the pack and maybe sneak in a wild card position because of the extra playoff teams this year.
Yeah, I've never been worried about Detroit, because Detroit will Detroit. Before the game is over, before something happens, they will do that. So I'm going to ask you this then, because I've never phrased it like this before. Are you saying that the Bears should use Mitchell more like a Kyler Murray, more like a Deshaun Watson, and less like your classic pocket pass or like a Patrick Mahomes? And maybe
yes.
Is that the mistake the Bears are making with him?
100%. They are – when you look at what John Harbaugh did, right, and I – all credit to Lamar Jackson for everything that he's been able to do. But – if Lamar Jackson gets drafted to a different organization, he is more than likely not the quarterback that we're seeing now. And why is that? Because John Harbaugh, even after he's won a Super Bowl, even after all the accolades that he has, he built an entire offense around Lamar Jackson's skill set. And guess what? They lost in the playoffs, and then they went back to the drawing board. And then this offseason, they lost again, and they went back to the drawing board. And they're going to have new stuff, and they're going to have new runs, and they're going to have new things that are built around the skill set that they have in their quarterback. And I just, if you're going to invest the draft capital that you did to get Mitchell Trubisky, how do you not allow for him to use his legs and be the athletic quarterback that he is and roll him out where he's much more comfortable throwing the football? I just, it doesn't make any sense to me. And I was super critical of it last year, and I'm going to continue to be critical of it this year because Nagy, you can't, I get it. You're Andy Reid disciple, but this isn't Patrick Mahomes. That's not who you have. And he isn't a pocket passer. So stop trying to square peg round hole and run the damn football, okay, first and foremost as a Chicagoan. Run the damn football with David Montgomery, who looks really damn good. Stop trying to get cute and use your quarterback in the ways that he's meant to be used. That's, if I see that and Mitch still sucks, I will get off the train. But I've seen good when it's called properly, and I haven't seen good when it's not called properly. This isn't a tale of two quarterbacks. It's a tale of two play calls, and they have to continue to do this, and they have to make these changes. And they have a lot of weapons, PLR. I mean, look at Anthony Miller, Allen Robinson. I mean, that's a hell of a 1-2. On top of Darryl Mooney, who they drafted in the fifth round, who's a stud. They got some really good options, but please use David Montgomery. Please use Mitchell Trubisky properly, and the line has to play well. That's it. And if that happens, the defense is going to be the defense, and they're not going to be put in a bad position, and this team's going to be really good. But you got to show it to me first before I can believe.
On the Cave Show with PLR on this Cigars with the Cave Show Thursday, Paige DeMarco, COO of the Draft Network. You know what? Our listeners can probably tell you're from Chicago right off, because last year I probably had about 10 rants about being cute instead of just running a ball from the one-yard line. I'm still one of those people that get a little bit upset, and I shouldn't be. I know that. But we have David Montgomery, and we have Tariq Cohen. I hate to see Cordarrelle Patterson run the ball. Maybe it's just something in me, but you have running backs because they're running backs. And to me, all that cuteness just, it doesn't help anyone long-term. And like I said, maybe that's just me, but that irritates the hell out of me every time I see him run a pitch or up the middle.
It's not just you. I think it's predominantly the NFL media that are not looking to, you know, dunk on the Bears, right? That people are just looking at the team and they're evaluating it properly. They recognize that it's okay to throw in a couple of trick plays here or there, but that shouldn't be a part of the game plan every game. That's not how that works, because then it doesn't become trick plays anymore. It just becomes tendencies and things that you're putting on film and people are preparing for. And guess what? I'm cool if you want to go to Cordarrelle Patterson every once in a while, but he's not your damn running back. And I haven't seen a commitment to the run with David Montgomery and Tariq Cohen as a pass-catching back. I want to see that as a 1-2 punch, and I don't think that's asking for too much. I really don't understand. It is the Chicago Bears franchise. Let me tell you something here, Matt Nagy. In Chicago, we run the football and we play good defense, okay? That's what we do. So stop trying to make this team a high-flying offense. That's not what we do. And nobody likes that crap anyway. So let your quarterback do what he needs to do and manage the game and let the defense be the defense and run the damn football. And when I see that, if it doesn't work, I will be willing to say, you know what, it's time to move on from Mitch. But until that happens, I'm going to be touting this over and over again, because I think Matt Nagy just gets too cute and it drives me nuts.
Ah, see, I knew there was a reason we've gotten along all these years. And I said almost the exact same thing. I said, in Chicago, we run, and then on defense, we hit you in your friggin' mouth. And when you get tired of us hitting you in your mouth, you turn your head, and we hit you in the side of the head. Because that's the way we play football in Chicago. Now, one thing I said, and I've taken some heat for over the last few days, Tom Brady moving on down to Tampa. I said I didn't think Tampa was going to be as good. The last time I saw an all-star team, quote-unquote, put together were the Philadelphia Eagles, and they really didn't do that well. And I also got a lot of heat because I said the only thing that's better at 43 than 42 is scotch. Now, I know they're not doing everything that's perfect for Tom, but no training camp, no OTAs, none of that. New system, new coach, new everything. I just don't think he's going to be what everyone thinks he's going to be without any of that behind him to start the season.
So here's where I differ with you. I agree in the fact that I wasn't surprised to see them lose game one because they played the New Orleans Saints, right? They played a really good team on the road who had no changes. You've had Sean Payton and Drew Brees for forever with those same weapons. I didn't pick them to win that game. They weren't favored to win that game. I wasn't surprised. You take away the two mistakes, and that defense really held that New Orleans Saints team in check. Michael Thomas being held to 3 receptions for 17 yards is insanity. And Alvin Kamara, until a couple of broken plays at the end of the game, is held pretty well in check. I think the reality here is you have, you know, you're looking at a team that has a really, really psychotic, and I mean that in the best way, competitor, right? A MJ-like competitor. And I don't, you know, I don't throw that terminology around lightly. There are probably two other athletes, Kobe Bryant and late Kobe Bryant and Tiger Woods, that I put in that same psychotic competitor level, and Tom Brady has that. And I think that's the differentiating factor here, on top of the fact that the Falcons are not good, the Carolina Panthers are not good, and the Saints were given the worst case scenario with Tom Brady this season. That's what you saw in game one. And they still didn't really beat him that well. They were one score down in the fourth quarter. And they were gifted two times that's not going to happen again, right? Michael Thomas is now out for a couple of weeks. So I think this sets up pretty well for Tom and this team. And it's not just about Tom, PLR. As somebody who loves defense, and I know you can appreciate this as well, go watch that defense play football. They will hit you in the mouth, okay? They will hit you in the mouth. That secondary is really damn good and underappreciated. Their safeties are good. They've got two of the most underappreciated linebackers. They've got Lavonte David, my boy from Nebraska, who's been a stud forever and is so underappreciated, alongside Devin White, who, if you watch that game, hit many people in the mouth. This team is – it's less about the offense to me and more about this defense is going to be excellent. The offense isn't going to have to do that much. And Gronkowski isn't the star anymore. It's Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette, and Tom Brady's not going to have to do that much. And that's why I have a lot of faith in this team. I know the national media wants to make it about Tom, but it's more about everything else that was existing there before he even got there.
Gotcha. On the Cave Show with PLR, Kerry Lackey Law Line on Thursday, Cigars with the Cave Show, live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, the one and only Paige DeMarcus, COO of the Draft Network. Week one, I saw a couple things that really irritated the hell out of me. And I think it's that fine line between when you're being a coordinator and when you become a coach and when you're making that transition from college to being a pro coach. I don't even know the kid's name that carried the ball on 4th and inches for Carolina. I don't care what the kid's name is. They carried the ball to Carolina on 4th and inches. You give the ball to number 22, and you get the hell out of his way. One person should touch the ball. And Denver, our guy, our old DC, you have 3 timeouts sitting in your pocket, and the opposing team is trying to run out the clock. You need the ball back. Use your timeouts. I think we're starting to see some separations between the Harbaughs that can coach their butt off and some of these other coaches that I'm like, there's a reason you've been a week one. Do you have any pet peeves for anything you saw week one?
Yeah, I think one of the big things that stuck out to me that surprised me was the Colts game plan and lack of execution, especially in the second half. Frank Reich has experience with Philip Rivers. And I really, with that offensive line and what they had and that defensive front, I was really, quite frankly, embarrassed with what they brought to the table in the second half, with letting that Jacksonville team, who pretty much everybody has said is going to win maybe one game this year, do that to them. I think that was something that stuck out to me, that was a disappointment. The other thing that was really disappointing was, and on the coaching staff here too, is with Carson Wentz in the second half, that offensive line we knew was battered going into the game. And they started off well. But in the second half, to allow that Washington team to score all of those points and go unanswered offensively and let Carson Wentz get sacked 7 times and not change anything, not make adjustments, not make moves, it was – quite frankly, from Doug Peterson, who I have a lot of respect for, I was really surprised. And I think that goes to the fact that I think everybody forgot and underappreciated who Ron Rivera is, because Ron Rivera is a hell of a coach. And I think that goes back to there is like tiers in the NFL. And I think Doug Peterson and Frank Reich are good coaches, but there aren't many elite excellent coaches, and I put Ron Rivera in that high level tier, because he can take a team that isn't that talented and get the most out of them, right? If you can do that, to me, you're elite at what you do, because other than one MVP season from Cam, he wasn't a very good quarterback for a long time, and they got the most out of that team. And now he's got Dwayne Haskins with this team that went in and beat the hell out of this Philadelphia Eagles team. I think those are some of the things that stuck out to me, PLR.
Paige, two more quick football questions, and tell me if I'm being too hard. I think Philip Rivers should be sitting here next to me doing a show having a cigar, because the one thing that you could count on Philip Rivers for the last 3 years is to play a team close enough to get to the fourth quarter to throw one of those interceptions that just have you scratching your head saying, what, dude, what are you doing? And the other one, believe it or not, is Carson Wentz. I love his ability. I hate his availability towards the end of a season. And I can't cheat for saying both of those. How far off base am I, or am I somewhere near the base?
So I think you're near the base with one and off the base with the other. So the Philip Rivers one, you're pretty close to the base, and I think we're going to know this pretty quickly, because you can look at last year and say, okay, their offensive line was graded out bottom three. That's a bad line, although they had a ton of weapons. Okay, he's got a new situation. He's Indianapolis. He's got a top five offensive line now. He's going to be protected. Let's see what he can do. If we get 4 weeks into the year and he's still making bad throws like he did in week one with Jacksonville, and he's throwing away games down the stretch, then I think we can say, yeah, it might be time to close the book on Philip Rivers and this is done, right? I will be completely on base with you. I think I don't want to overreact to week one. I want to give him 4 games, evaluate, and then go back to it. The Carson Wentz stuff, Carson went toe-to-toe down the stretch last season with nobody. One of the worst defenses I've ever seen put out there, quite frankly, is an NFL roster. You're looking at it and you're going, who are these guys? And on the other side of the football, all the weapons hurt, right? And he went toe-to-toe with Dak Prescott and that loaded Cowboys roster and beat the hell out of that team down the stretch to end up winning that division. That is way too close in my mind to shut the door on Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is a very talented dude. He's got a lot of athleticism. His only question mark, to your point, is his availability, and that is totally justified. But as a quarterback, if you're going to let him get at the Eagles as a whole, you know you have a fragile quarterback, right? He's already had multiple injuries. How the hell are you going to put him out there with that offensive line? I'm just saying, how are you going to put him out there with that offensive line? It reminds me of what happened in Indianapolis with Andrew Luck. It's very similar. You've got a great quarterback, but they cannot continue to just get their ass whooped. You can't let that happen. You can't let your quarterback get sacked 7 times. It's your number one asset, and you're not protecting him. That's the best way to say it. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So I hope for Carson's sake, he either gets an opportunity to play somewhere else or the Eagles wake the hell up and put better guys in front of him and give him some damn weapons. Because a bunch of speedy guys that run in a straight line, that ain't doing it. You better figure out, get some real wide receivers out there, because you got a bunch of guys who can run in a straight line, can't run routes. Doesn't make any sense.
Ain't that the truth. Okay, last football question. So I think this is unfair. So you get that alien playing quarterback in Kansas City, because I don't know where he's from, because that man is obviously not from Earth. And then you give him Clyde Edwards-Helaire, a running game, a guy that can now control the clock at the end of a game. How do you beat this team with that alien playing quarterback that can throw any pass from any position? And you talk about speedsters running routes. Okay, so fine. You take Tariq Hill out of the game. Now he goes to Watkins. Okay, fine. You take Watkins out of the game. He goes to Hardman. Now you got a running game. And then, oh, yeah, they still have one of the best tight ends in the league. How do you beat Kansas City?
Yeah, I hate all 31 other organizations that allowed Andy Reid to get Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That's the best way I can say it. I don't understand how the rest of you allowed for this to happen, because quite frankly, as a GM, I would have drafted him ahead of him just to make sure he did not get that guy in his offense. It is mind-blowing to me, because this offense now is going to be even more electric than we saw it before. And the crazy thing is, PLR, you saw him run between the tackles in the game one. You didn't even see the pass-catching version of what he can be. They didn't pass him the ball very often. They ran the football with him. You're in for a real treat with this kid. He is electric. Andy Reid is an offensive genius. And this team is on a trajectory to just full steam ahead. And I think the only thing that's going to impact this team is if they have, like can happen in the NFL, right? We know this happens. An injury or two on defense, because they're not that good on that side of the football. They're good enough. They have enough playmakers, but they don't have a lot of depth. And if that starts to happen, then all of a sudden you start to look at the NFC and you go, okay, if you lose a key piece here or there and Baltimore doesn't, then all of a sudden you have an offense that can keep up with you, but their defense is better, right? And I think that's where this is going to come down to injuries and how healthy these teams stay. Because if the Chiefs stay completely healthy, PLR, I don't see anybody knocking these dudes off the track. I just don't.
So I'm going to give you an opportunity right now, and here's your only chance at it. Only chance. When the White Sox win today, they clinch playoff berth. Now, if the Cubs clinch playoff berth, I got it, whatever. But if my White Sox go further than the Cubs, you're going to hear from me. So I'm going to give you one shot now to come over to the good guys. This is your shot.
PLR, you know me better than this, right? This is almost offensive that you're asking me to do this, right, brother? I will take all the heat anytime, anywhere. I don't care, especially because we got a nice championship trophy that I can look at now. So, listen, I'm good, man. Like, there is nothing that you can entice me. Good on you guys. I hope it goes well for you. I hope we end up in the World Series against each other, and I hope we smack you in the mouth. So that's how I hope it. I hope we really take care of little brother when it comes down to it.
You know, a lot of people didn't know this, but you and I, actually, the second day that Sloan opened, actually went out there and covered. And I said, I really like Paige because there's not too many people that could get me out to a Cubs spring training game, working or not working. And I still remember us going out there to cover that second day that they opened. So not too many people could do that, Paige.
I feel special and look forward to the time where we're all able to be inside of a ballpark, hopefully sooner rather than later.
You're not lying. So next time I get you on, you're going to have to talk me down from O'Brien, because I'm on him a lot too, because I think Deshaun Watson is another great young quarterback being wasted. But we'll save that one for later. Please tell everyone how they can follow all the great work that you're doing.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and you know, I'll have plenty of thoughts on Bill O'Brien next time around. So thank you very much for DeAndre Hopkins here in the Valley, big dog. You guys can follow me at @_sports_page with an I on both Twitter and Instagram, and everything that we do, that I do, that my company is doing, you can go to thedraftnetwork.com. We've got a ton of amazing things that we have going on, whether it's our mock draft simulator or all the content, the scouting department and our content team is doing covering NFL and college football. So please check it out. The guys are doing guys and girls are doing exceptional work. And PLR, thanks for having me on.
And next time, you don't have to send your assistant to hunt me down. I'm only a follower.
This is what I do now, man. I don't run my life anymore. I don't run my own life, okay? So I don't call the shots. That's Alex. She does a really good job. So don't ask me to do it because then it just won't happen. So it's better Alex continues to do her thing.
I said, did Paige really have her people call my people? I was like, what the? Mm-hmm. Is this a joke? You know what, though? whatever it takes, hanging with you, talking with you is always a pleasure. So, my friend, my family, thank you so much for hanging out with me today.
Thanks, PLR.
All right, talk to you soon. The one, the only Paige DeMarcus, hanging out with us for a while, a little bit longer than I actually told her. So, thank you very much for that. We're going to step away. We'll be back in about 15 seconds. This is The Cave Show with PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Bombs and birdies, baby. Bombs and birdies. That's all it's about.
You wonder how you do it. It's just one simple move. I'm just cool.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thanks again to my old partner in crime, my buddy, the one and only Paige DeMarcus, who hung out with us just now on The Cave Show with PLR, coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Make sure you're following us on all the social media networks, the Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook, at The Sports Cave. Cave is with the K. And our website is thesportscave.com. Again, Cave is with a K. All right, so I got to get a little bit more into this Clippers debacle, or the Nuggets success, however you want to phrase it. But first, I want to clear up something I heard a little bit earlier today. And I love it when guys talk, and I love it when people have platforms, and no one has a platform like Stephen A. He's one of the best in the business. If you don't believe me, ask him. He'll tell you. He'll read his whole resume out to you. And he's truly one of the best. There's not anybody who doesn't know. But some of the comparisons, I think, are ridiculous. Paul George, if he's not careful, will become the next Dwight Howard. I think you insulted two people with one comment. Dwight Howard is a Hall of Famer. And I know there's a lot of people out there that don't like him. But all you got to do is go down and do his list of accomplishments. And he's a Hall of Famer. Paul George is not a guy that's been anything other than really the next best player on a team. And he's very good at what he does. Now, understandably, he hasn't had the best playoff runs. I get that. I really, truly do. But at the same time, I think you're taking two shots at two people unnecessarily. The Clippers are going to come back next year. They're going to run it back. They're going to make some additions. They should not trade Paul George. And I think a lot of that had to do with the Clippers wasn't just the players. I think as a coach, well-respected in the league. He has a championship ring. He's done a lot of good things. But also as a coach, you can't keep giving up 3-1 leads. I don't care who's playing for you. You built a 3-1 lead. This isn't one time. This isn't two times. This isn't three times. So I think a lot of that has to go to Doc. And like I said in the first segment, I think it's funny how we do this. When teams fight each other and win, they're called competitors. When they don't, we talk about cohesiveness. So I'm just curious how this is all going to shake out. Plain and simple, Lou Williams, I think, put it best. And listen to what Lou Williams said.
We knew that. We understood this was going to take some time. I think a lot of the issues that we ran into, talent bailed us out. Chemistry didn't. And this series has failed us. And so, you know, this is our first year together. We're a highly talented group. And we came up short. You know, something, chemistry is something that you got to build. You build it over time. I thought we were moving in the right direction at the end of the year before, you know, the COVID thing happened and coming in after the break. And, you know, you take some time off and then you try to get it back. And, you know, you kind of got a shotgun season. And we just have so many different things, you know. So continuity is very important. So we'll be right back.
And he talked about the fact that they had the talent.
You know,
win.
Came up short. Just briefly, we had a conversation already amongst the guys that, you know, we got a quick turnaround. We understand this is going to be a quick off season. Let's get back to work and let's continue to build. You know, we did have championship expectations. We had the talent to do it. I don't think we had the chemistry to do it in this show. You know, we had lapses on defense and on offense where, you know, I think guys are played in systems where they were expecting guys to be in certain spots offensively. A lot of different guys made adjustments. And so, you know, it showed, you know. But at the end of the day, we were up 3-1. We had two opportunities to win games. We were up 20 points. We should have closed this deal out, and we didn't. So you give credit to Denver for continuing to play. And like I said, we take our lumps and we keep moving.
And like you said, the bit,
hard
it just
we
came
could.
Up short.
I don't know if it was an in-shape thing. You know, at this point, we've been here, you know, over 2 months. We had an opportunity to get ourselves in a position to be in shape. I know I played harder today than I've had in the past on both ends of the floor and just trying to make things happen. And so, you don't know. You can pinpoint a lot of things. The fact is we came up short, and we got to live with it. You know, we take our lick and keep moving.
Now, there is one thing, though, that I will say about Paul George. Paul George came out and told everyone about some of the mental health issues that he had. Now, I think there was a lot of weak people that took shots at him for that. I think that's utterly ridiculous. But what you have to do is you do have to still separate. He still has to perform. And as a basketball player, you can still talk about how he didn't live up to what he was brought there to do. The mental health issues, I think you got to leave alone. And PG did talk about adversity, and this is what he said in regards to the Clippers and the adversity they faced in the Nuggets.
I think just adversity, a lot of adversity we dealt with, rightfully so. You know, guys had to, you know, go home for, you know, rightful reasons, you know, and we just missed a lot of time being together. With injuries in the regular season and inside the bubble. You know, so we didn't get much time to be together. This was the longest stretch, I think, that we have played together. But it just wasn't enough. And, you know, I think in this series it showed. Denver's a team that been playing together for a long time. When things got rough, when you know, they needed this or needed that, they just know each other. They've been on a string for so long, and I think it showed.
Now, hold that thought in your mind, what he said about cohesiveness, because I'm going to play one thing I disagree with him about, on this not being a championship or bust year. So listen to this, but hold in your mind what he said about cohesiveness.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's obvious pressure, you know, to live up to title expectations. But as a player, I mean, you want that. Like, you want that. Again, it's the first time I've been in that situation where we're expected to win, you know. But, you know, it is what it is. It's no cop-out. Fact of the matter is we didn't live up to that expectation. But I think internally we've always felt this is not a championship or bust year for us. You know, we can only get better the longer we stay together and the more we're around each other. The more chemistry for this group, the better. I think that's really the tale of the tape of the season. We just didn't have enough time together.
Okay, so here's where I'm going to separate it. Keep adversity in your mind. He said it was not a championship or bust year. On that, I'm hitting the bullshit meter. You don't bring in Kawhi Leonard and you don't bring in Paul George for it to be out in the second round, out in the conference championships. If you're out, you're out because you were playing for a title. That's not the talent you bring in to not be a championship or bust year. So I apologize to you, PG, but I got to hit the bullshit meter on that one because that's not the case. That's absolutely not the case. We gave LeBron all kinds of heat for not winning a title his first year in Miami. And they talked about adversity and they talked about learning how to play together. We gave him crap for not winning the first title, Cleveland, when he got there. Even though there wasn't a team that he had played with. Even though last year went wrong, I for one said, hey, look, as good as he was, he should at least got that team to the playoffs. So you don't get it out on that one. When it comes to adversity, when that much talent is brought together, adversity and expectations is what comes with it. Now, I'm going to try something different. Maybe you build cohesiveness by not taking off so many games resting. If everyone is new for the most part, you don't build cohesiveness by taking nights off for rest to gear up for the playoffs. Because if you take nights off to gear up for the playoffs, you yourself and your teammates have already basically said the regular season doesn't mean as much as the playoffs and we're going to be ready. Guess what that brings? Expectations. So you play. You don't take the rest days because that's not how you build cohesion. So you can't have it both ways. And as far as Doc Rivers is concerned, maybe it's time. I know I'm saying it. Maybe it's time to move on. Doc said himself, they didn't meet their expectations.
They didn't meet them. That's the bottom line. I'm the coach, and I'll take any blame for it. But we didn't meet our expectations, clearly. Because if we had, in my opinion, we'd still be playing.
It's really just that simple. Now we got to flip to the other side. Denver's not afraid of anything. They're not crossing the street because you're walking a dog. They're ready for it. They are ready for the fight. That's who they are. They've proven it every year, and they know who does what. That's the cohesiveness that they're talking about on the Clipper side. You know what you're getting from Jamal Murray. You know what you're getting from Nikola Jokic. You know what you're getting from their role players. And now you have a young guy and Michael Porter who can just flat out ball. Maybe he talked a little bit much, but you know what? The kid can flat out play. And as Mike Malone said, their goal wasn't to beat the Clippers. Their goal all year has been one thing, getting to the NBA Finals.
Goal was never get to a game seven. Now, our goal when we started this whole season was to win a championship. And as outrageous as that may sound for people outside of our group, we never lost sight of that, and we kept our belief in that. And I think it's been evident in the first round, down two starters, other guys step up. We get Gary Harris back, and down 3-1, I think this is our sixth straight elimination game, 71 days in the bubble, and just to stay together. That commitment, that toughness is, you don't see that around very often. So that speaks to the guys in that locker room and how much they truly love each other and care about each other, and are willing to fight for each other. And that's why I enjoy being around this group every single day. Enjoy the journey, but more importantly, enjoy the journey with those guys in that locker room. And it's just an amazing feeling.
Michael Malone outcoached Doc Rivers, and his players outplayed him. And I think this sound clip from Jamal Murray said it best. Maybe now they get just a little bit of respect.
We've been showing it. I don't know how else to say it. We've been showing it. And you got Shaq, you got Charles, you got, I think Zach Lowe's the name, I don't even know. Stephen A., all y'all better start giving this team some damn respect. So we put in the work, and we got a resilient team, and, We should have been down 3-1, but you know, to come back from 3-1 against the Clippers, that was a big achievement. So it's fun just to change that narrative. Y'all can finally start changing the narrative and looking at us in a better light.
And there you have it. Now let me give it to you straight. Actually, I'm not even going to pick that game till tomorrow because the game is played tomorrow. Watch Boston and Miami tonight. I'm telling you, man, Miami got a bunch of dogs. 15 seconds away. We'll be right back to wrap this show up.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
All righty, welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR coming to you on Cigars with the Cave Show Thursdays, live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. We have 2 minutes. Let's wrap this up with some news and notes. The WNBA ride or die, I like to call it, shotgun playoffs is going on. Mercury survived on Shea Pettis' three-pointer at the buzzer. They play again tonight, 4 o'clock. They win, they continue. They lose, they leave the bubble. So good luck to the Mercury. And talking to them earlier today, Diana Taurasi told me directly that it is so nice to have other people that can play and help and have confidence in each other. If it's Skylar Diggins, if it's Shea Pettis, if it's Sophie Cunningham, it doesn't matter. They all have confidence in each other to get the job done, and that's exactly what they're doing. If you look at any team in this WNBA bubble, no team has had the adversity that I cannot speak today, that the Phoenix Mercury has had. So good luck to you ladies tonight. Pac-12. So are they going to play football? California going to let their kids practice? Oregon going to let the kids practice? We'll see. Pac-12 is working on possibly some type of six-game quick schedule. We'll see how that works out. As soon as I hear something, I'll let you know. I do know that there is a media Pac-12 call coming up here soon. So hopefully I'll have some answers for you in regards to that. Tonight, Cincinnati plays Cleveland. I cannot believe I'm doing this. But if you want to win a couple dollars, entertainment purposes only, you go with Cleveland tonight. I think they bounce back, and I definitely think they cover that 6 points. So, as you know, today, like I said, was Cigars with the Cave Show at Maduro. Listen, people, get down here. I am telling you, I have been a club member for years. It is the best spot to come down to. Everyone here will take care of you. Make sure you're following us on all social media, the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook. Cave is with the K. The website is thesportscave.com. Again, Cave is with a K. A lot of stuff going on tomorrow. We'll be wrapping up the week. We'll preview all the games. I'll give you all the picks. Maybe put a little change in your pocket. Big up thanks to the callers who I was able to get in. And big thanks to my family, Paige DeMarco, COO of the Draft Network. Thanks for hanging out. Felt like old times. Until tomorrow, live from Maduro's, this has been The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. And as I like to say to end every single show, Temptations, bring us home.
Thank you.